maths, conjectures, theorems. But how does maths really underpin the science that affects you? Here's Dr. John Carmody from the University of Sydney with the 100th anniversary of an equation.
The truth is that precise measurement and the best possible analysis of the observations which emerge are at the very heart of science. I learnt this lesson profoundly as a 16-year-old schoolboy, and never in a lifetime with science have I had occasion to deviate from it. Mathematics and science form an essential and indissoluble partnership. So what should be celebrated this year? The 20th century was really the era of biology and medicine, and biochemistry is the kernel of them both. That is simply because nothing can happen in life without the controlled absorption of solar energy by plants or the regulated release of that energy from the raw materials of our food. Therefore, the study of biochemical reactions and the different speeds at which they occur is fundamental to both biology and medicine. Furthermore, if that study is not precise and quantitative, it will never provide real understanding. That is the true importance of the equation which is named after the two scientists who derived and published it in 1913 in Germany. Some say that real biochemistry was born with its publication. But before I make the case for that extraordinary significance, I want to say something about those two scientists. Leonor Michaelis was a Jewish-German biochemist who was working in Berlin in 1913. Whilst a medical student, he had been influenced by the great physiologist Dubois-Raymond and the renowned chemist Emil Fischer. In mid-course, he worked for a year with the legendary Paul Ehrlich. Being Jewish, he was obliged to accept a position at a lesser hospital after graduation, and from 1906 to 1922 was director of the bacteriological laboratory at the relatively new Krankenhaus am Urban in Berlin. There was, though, no stopping his love of physical chemistry, so he set up a research laboratory there with his Jewish colleague Dr. Peter Rona. They studied the effects of acid conditions on the structure and function of proteins, especially enzymes. Dr. Maud Menten joined him in 1913. She was a young Canadian graduate in science and medicine who had found that research conditions in her native country were very uncongenial for science, especially, it seems, for women. They worked on an enzyme called invertase, which splits sucrose into its two constituent sugars, fructose and glucose, and studied the velocity of that reaction as precisely as possible. The first step in their understanding of this process was that sucrose, technically called the substrate, that is the molecule which is specific to the chemical reaction, actually forms a chemical entity with the enzyme. But their idea had profound implications far beyond the analysis of just that reaction. For biochemistry, pharmacology, and the development of targeting drugs, as well as an understanding of the actions of hormones and neurotransmitters. That concept of specific binding of substrate and enzyme implied a real complementarity between the two, or a lock and key mechanism, as it used to be called. When they drew graphs of the relationship between the concentrations of the substrate and the velocity of that chemical reaction, their curves looked like smooth hills running up to plateaus, with the plateau being the maximum possible velocity of the reaction. Up until that maximum value, the availability of the substrate determines the lesser rates. Now, every biochemical reaction has its own maximal velocity because a different enzyme is involved, and the range of reaction rates proves to be surprisingly wide. The Michaelis-Menten equation is invaluable for determining those velocities, but perhaps the most important point about any equation is that it can be mathematically manipulated, turned upside down, for example, or transformed with logarithms. And those procedures can, in turn, offer scientists new ways of looking at their results. It's a little like walking around a piece of sculpture to examine and appreciate it from different perspectives. And mathematically speaking, that happened in 1934, when, in the most frequently cited paper which the American Journal of Chemistry has ever published, Hans Leinweber and Dean Burke plotted kinetic enzyme data as reciprocals. This converted the Michaelis-Menten curves into straight lines, which are always easier to deal with than curves, but more importantly, it provided a clear-cut method of recognizing that when enzyme action is inhibited, there are two distinct mechanisms involved. A non-competitive form, which is a kind of permanent poisoning of the protein, and a competitive form. And that second process occurs when the normal substrate has to compete with another chemical, typically it's a drug, to secure occupancy of the chemically active sites on the protein. The normal biochemical reaction is thereby reduced in velocity. The practical outcome was that scientists who sought, for example, to understand how hormones or neurotransmitters operate had a powerful new technique at their disposal. More importantly, perhaps, pharmacologists could then synthesize and work with new drugs which had the potential to mimic and enhance or interfere with physiological processes. Patients who have used beta-blocking drugs in the treatment of high blood pressure or heart problems, or those who have used their asthma puffers containing beta agonists, have been amongst the beneficiaries of the insights which the Michaelis-Menten equation made possible. So a new equation is far more than just a gleam in a mathematician's eye. In encouraging the acquisition of accurate experimental data and its more rigorous analysis, it can have profoundly practical results. So this is why I'd like you all to be upstanding as I propose a toast for the 100th birthday of the Michaelis-Menten equation.
Cheers. Dr. John Carmody from the University of Sydney.